Again, thank you everyone for being here tonight. It's only 7:30. You'll no doubt be out early tonight. There'll probably be no complaints. I'm going to read in two places. The first one is in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Sometimes it's one of the difficulties when you're asked to speak is where to read or what to read. And this morning after meeting, we're chatting and chatting with Olga, and she said we were talking about things, and she just happened to mention we just don't know what could happen tomorrow. So that brought me to this verse. So I trust it's of the Lord for someone here tonight. James chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Whereas ye know not what could happen tomorrow. Just something for each one of us to really stop and think about. We just don't know what could happen tomorrow. Yesterday we can't change. What happened yesterday is done. And we don't know what tomorrow may bring. And a decision that you could make in the next few minutes could determine what your eternity will be. The hymn that was given out at the first is eternity. Time soon will end. And where will you spend eternity? It's a solemn thing to consider. And I can remember before I was saved, when they give out that hymn at the end of a meeting, and it really would speak volumes to me. And not only did I think it, I thought it took eternity to sing that hymn, but I think that's for a reason. It's a slow hymn, but it really makes you think. So hopefully it made somebody think tonight. Where will you spend eternity? And that's why we have this little meeting. You can spend eternity in heaven. Let's read one more phrase in 1 Samuel chapter 20. That's just a phrase I'm going to lift out at the end of verse 4, or the end of verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and the last, 1, 2, 3, the last 9 words of verse 3. It's David speaking. He had been sought out by Saul, and Saul had tried to kill him on numerous occasions. He was very well aware of how uncertain life was. And he said, "There is but a step between me and death." This afternoon, one of my grandchildren said, "Are you speeching tonight?" And I thought that was a real good term for me, describe me. I can't preach nor speak, so it's a good word for me, speeching. But anyway, we've come here tonight in some feeble manner. We want to, by the help of God, get across to maybe someone here tonight. I know, I recognize the numbers are small, but if there was only one person in the whole world, a provision would have been provided by God. That's how important each individual is. A provision would have been provided by God for just one soul. So this is an important matter, the matter of where will you spend eternity. And I was thinking, as I was thinking of this verse, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" And I don't know if it's a thing about, maybe it's a thing about when some of us, as we're getting older, we tend to think more about what is life, or what is your life. And if you were to ask I guess there's over 7 billion, maybe almost 8 billion people, in the world at this time. And if you were to ask, go around and just start asking people, it'd be interesting to know just what their answer would be. You know, if you were just randomly stood on a street corner and said, sir, ma'am, or could even be a boy or a girl, what is your life? What does it mean when you ask that question, what is your life? It'd be interesting to hear what they might say. Some may say, well, life is all about me. And I think that might be a fairly common answer that we might hear. If they told the truth, that is, I know they may beat around the bush and they might say, you know, the religious people might say, well, we should be kind and nice and do good unto others. And that's probably what they think that the person asking the question would like to hear. But deep down, I think a lot of people would answer in their heart, it's about me. And I can remember there's a song, and I don't know how it goes right now, but when we went to Israel, they sang that on our tour bus quite a bit. It's not about me. It's not about me. But the world at large thinks it's all about themselves. Maybe it's to get a good education, and that is important. Maybe there will be other people say it's to get an education and get a good job and marry and have family and, you know, settle down and provide for the family. And that is a high ambition. And that's, you know, what a lot of people would do and are doing. But if you were to ask a lot of other people, they might say life is empty. Life is hollow. Life, it just seems to be just one trial or one tribulation or one sickness after another. And what is, they might say, well, you tell me, what is the meaning of life? I probably mentioned, I don't think I mentioned this exact thing, but a lot of people, especially when they go into the sports world, their ambition is to be number one. And sometimes we look down on that as being something, you know, well, you know, that's a selfish ambition. But you know, Scottie Scheffler, he's world number one golfer right now. And at the last major that he won, he was having, they were interviewing him afterwards, and he had just won the Masters for the second time. So this would have been back in April. And the interviewer asked him at the press conference, you know, you've won another major, you've won the Masters for the second time, and what are your aspirations and all this kind of stuff? He said, you know, and he finished by asking him, he said, so golf must be what makes you tick. And he looked up, and he said, well, and he called the announcer by name. I don't know what his name was, doesn't matter, but he said, called him by name, and he said, sir, he said, I believe that I was created. And I believe that if I'm going to ever spend my eternal home with my Creator, I have to accept, and I have accepted, the provision that He provided for me. So he said, God is what makes me tick. My family is what makes me tick. And golf is just something, an ability that God has given me to glorify Him. Now, I don't know exactly what all he meant by that, but I thought that poor announcer probably regretted asking him that question. in front of live TV. But you know, it is. He had a good answer. What is the priority in life? We are put here just for a little time. And it's not to make money. Dean was saying this morning, wealth is not evil in itself. But if you make it the sole priority, it's probably going to consume you. And it's the same with money. It's the same with popularity. It's the same with being number one, maybe. But you have to have a priority. You have to have something that's real, that really makes you tick, or your life will be empty. And that is, I think, why so many people in the world today, they have missed the whole concept of the reality that there is a God to meet. And people are being deceived, and people are being swept away by evil and by the teaching of things that are in the world. And they're passing away, and they are missing out on the real purpose of life. So what is your life? Last summer, apparently there was an announcement, and I'm probably behind times. I don't know if the concert has happened yet or if it's this fall. But anyway, apparently Taylor Swift is coming to Canada, to Ontario. And I think maybe it might be this fall. And I think tickets went on sale last summer. And I can remember being at work one day, and there was a bunch of them in the break room, and they were all going to work together to try to get tickets to see Taylor Swift. Apparently it was going to be, you even had to go on some kind of a lotto thing to even be available or even to be picked to get a ticket. That's how hard it was going to be to get tickets. And I can remember what one girl said. And this girl was the daughter of a minister. And it just blew me away. She said, "If I don't get tickets to see Taylor Swift, my life will have no meaning." Can you imagine? She said, "If I don't get tickets to see Taylor Swift, my life will have had no meaning." That's quite a statement. But you know, there are people, and they are selling out for entertainment and all these things that really are passing. What is your life? Our life is really a time to prepare. It's not about money. It's not about prosperity. It's not about popularity. But it's a time for you and me to prepare. To prepare for what? "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor." We are just here for a short time. I don't know if you believe in magic or not. I personally, anytime I'm on a cruise or I see magic shows, I almost don't use, it's not what I like to go to see. Sometimes I just go but it's not what I like. I don't like magic shows. But life is almost like a magic show, because your life is going to disappear. This life is a disappearing act. We are not here for long. We are going to fade away. Most of you probably know that I like to golf some. And I have the privilege of golfing with three other Christians. Anytime, most times I golf, three other Christians. And there's nothing like early morning. And you go out there and there's lots of conversation happens on the golf course. And this morning, the mess the world is in and all the things that are going on. And so we get down by the river, down by West River. There wasn't a breath. There wasn't a ripple on the water on West River. You could see the reflection of the trees and the sun and the colors. It was just beautiful. And one of them said, "What a time to be raptured." And, go from such this sight. And I have seen some beautiful scenery in my limited travels. And I love nature. I've seen rainforests and so beautiful, I almost expect to see Adam or Eve coming out around from a tree. I just love that kind of thing. And I can remember the other morning standing there, and one gentleman said, "What a time to be raptured, to go from looking at this into the presence of the Lord." And the other fellow said, I think I'd rather die. And everybody was silent. I'd rather die. So the gentleman that said, "What a time to be raptured," he said, "Why ever would you rather die?" I know I don't want to die. Death is a scary thing. We weren't made to die. We weren't meant to. We were created to live forever. That's why death can be difficult. But he said, this man said, "Well," he said, "I have a daughter, and she's still not saved." And he said, "By my death, it could be the final voice to wake her up." We would like to be taken out of this world by the rapture. But when the rapture happens, it will be in God's time. And if you're not ready, you will be left. But there's a voice that is calling to you tonight. There is one. Many people in the world tonight, they would admit that their life is empty and hollow. And they would admit that it's empty and that no one cares. Does no one care? There's a verse over in the front of you there. There is someone who cares. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." There is one who cares. Another thing I like is being out on the water. But I wouldn't want to be out on the water in a severe storm. And there one day when the Lord Jesus lived on this earth, they were out in the Sea of Galilee. And he, being tired, it says that he fell asleep. And there arose a great storm. And because he was sleeping, the disciples thought that he didn't care. Can you imagine? And sometimes maybe we think that. Sometimes we think, when life throws its curveballs, we think that maybe, does he really care? But he does. Jesus cares. And when they awoke him out of his sleep, they said to him, "You don't care?" But they learned, I think, a big lesson that day. They learned to trust more in him. We like to try and figure things out on our own. But if you're ever going to be in heaven, it's not something that you're going to do on your own. We have to learn that. If you're going to be in heaven, you'll have to accept the provision that was provided for you. There were two thieves on the cross, or on the Lord, on each side of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was in the middle, and on either side was a thief. And they both knew that they were soon going to pass from this world. Death was imminent. They both had the same opportunity. One would not accept that the one dying in the middle cross was dying on his behalf. But the one on the other side admitted his own guilt. He said, "We received the due reward of our deeds." In other words, he was admitting that he was dying because of his deeds, but that the one on the middle cross was dying for the sins of others. You see, the provision that was provided is for each and every one. And there is no other way. And David, when he read that or said those words, he said, "There is but a step between me and death." And in James we read, "We know not what shall be on the morrow." And maybe you're here tonight and you're young and strong and healthy feeling, but we still don't know, and you don't know, what tomorrow may bring. You know, when we got back from our son and from our sons there a couple of weeks ago, and we got back late in the evening on a Sunday evening. So Monday, Arlene and I went up street to pick up some groceries. And, you know, we went to two or three places. And then I remembered seeing at M&M's, they had chicken fingers on sale at a good price. So we say, "Oh yeah, I got to go in there." So we went in there and we're coming out, and there was nothing coming. I had two or three boxes of whatever, and there was nothing coming, so we started across the parking lot, like to the car, and out of the corner of my eye this way, I seen a car, like, come in off of Granville, you know, up toward Mark's there, and then turn left toward where we were walking across. So we were partway across, so I assumed, and you know that you should never assume. Everybody knows that you should never assume something, but I did that day. And I assumed that since we were, you know, well on our way across, that this person would stop. So I'm looking the other way by this time, looking up over toward Canadian Tire, and all of a sudden, Arlene grabbed my arm and gave me a yank back. I was literally one step. That driver did not look sideways yet, but she just bombed right through. And I was literally that one step, and I probably would not be here tonight. Life can end so unexpectedly. You think you may have time to plan things around your death, but we just simply don't know when it will happen. Whether it happens at age 10, 40, or 100, everyone dies at some point. And no matter what age, in the end, somebody will have said, "Well, it was sudden at the end." It'll suddenly happen. And in God's time, you will be taken. And will you be ready for eternity? I trust tonight that you will recognize that God does indeed care. He has made the one and only provision for you. He has done all the work, and all you have to do is accept your guilt and then accept the one who bore your guilt upon the cross. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just bow now to give thanks for again for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the provision that he has made, and we recognize that we are nothing in ourselves, but thy word is living, and we do beseech of thee that it will be glorified tonight in the salvation of a soul. So we just leave it in your care, in the name of thy Son. Amen.